Bibles once again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We advance today to another one of those Christian dailies. Another one of those Christian dailies. Now, we have been taking it apart one by one. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 22. This is the argument that we have been making with this passage. That in these verses from 16 through 22, the Apostle Paul, in a very succinct, abbreviated manner, shared with the Thessalonians the Christian's bread and butter. As if to say, these are our Christian daily living. So let me remind you, now that I have touched on some important topics and special topics in my letter, let me put you in remembrance of those dailies that we live in as Christians. So, review them, go back in the series. They're all connected to each other, and we have borne out some of those connections. But today we come to verse 20. Verse 20, in which it says, do not despise prophecies. Do not despise prophecies. Another one of those Christian dailies is a daily attention to God's Word. The DNA, the heartbeat, the blood that pumps through the veins of the Christian, it's a need, hear me out, it's a need to pay attention to God's Word daily. As a matter of fact, you can rest assured that you have put out or have been putting out the Spirit's fire and that you're actually grieving the Spirit. Here is it, okay? You can take it to the bank that you're putting out the Spirit's fire if you are not regularly paying attention to God's Word. If you're not on the regular feeding on God's Word, needing God's Word, approaching God's Word, paying attention to God's Word, you're not living by God's Word. You're not living by the Spirit. You have defaulted to your own flesh. And that is an indication that you have begun to put out the Spirit's fire and possibly grieve the Spirit. So that is a connection with the Christian daily from the last couple of Sundays. But let us concentrate on this one today and maybe next Sunday. Next Sunday I won't be here, but we have a treat for you. Our youth leader, Jonathan, will be bringing the sermon next Sunday. So I look forward to having him and you hearing him. Do not despise prophecies. I think we need to start by defining what prophecy is. Defining what prophecy is. And in the passages that we will read, it'll come out. But let me give you a broad definition, a working definition. And the definition that I put together is the following. Prophecy or prophesying is speech that concerns divine revelation. And notice I use the word concerns because it could be divine revelation. It could involve divine revelation or be about or based on divine revelation. So it's speech that involves or concerns divine revelation. For what purpose? To advance God's kingdom redemptive purpose. So it has a very specific purpose. It is speech, okay? It concerns divine revelation. It concerns the Word of God. And it is for the purpose of advancing God's redemptive purposes. Now, in that vein, we can say the following too. That prophecy, biblical prophecy or prophesying, can be, on the one hand, for speaking or foretelling. as in the case of the apostles and prophets. They foretold things concerning the kingdom of God, which were inscripturated, which had been recorded in Holy Writ. Okay? So obviously that sense of prophesying is no longer in effect. Okay? That sense of foretelling, as in foretelling the future, is something that God did through apostles and prophets. And it concerned establishing the revelation of Holy Scripture. Speaking the Word of God. It's the narrative of the Word of God. It's the Scripture that has been breathed out by God through the men that spoke. Okay? So no one is speaking, foretelling new prophecies. You could take it to the bank that if someone claims to have new prophecy, they are liars and thieves. Do not listen to them. So in that sense, yes, indeed, prophesying, and in this passage, may still be functioning with that sense of foretelling or forespeaking concerning God's kingdom purposes and revelation. Now, the other sense, which is still active today, is basically speaking forth telling, which is basically concerning what God has revealed, or on the basis of what God has revealed, then we speak the Word of God. We speak concerning the Word of God. We speak on the basis of the Word of God, right? For the purposes of advancing God's kingdom. So that is the sense in which prophesying and prophecy is still active today. So it's speech that concerns divine revelation to advance God's kingdom purposes. Now, what's interesting here is this admonition to not despise prophecies, right? Before we enter a little deeper into what I think this is about, in terms of prophesying, I want to speak a little bit in terms of what prophecy and prophesying is. But I find it interesting that there is an admonition here to not despise prophecies. And why would someone despise prophecies or prophesying? Again, if we use the working definition that I have given you, why would someone despise speech that concerns divine revelation to advance God's kingdom purposes? Why would someone do that, right? Well, I have a couple of very basic reasons why, and then some more biblically perhaps grounded reasons. Number one, that we just don't like anyone preaching to us, right? And at the very basic level, how many times have we told someone, stop preaching to me, right? Stop preaching to me. So here's saying, hey, do not despise having someone preach to you. You know, that's what this is saying. At a very basic level, the apostle here is saying, you depend on preaching. You depend on speech that is spoken over you concerning divine things. Your life, your spiritual life depends on that. Don't despise it. Right? Why? Because, well, in particular today, we become so adept at self-doing, right? At self-consuming, choosing, that we don't feel that we depend on anyone else. We feel we're just independent. If I choose to go to church, well, that's just because I'm very much in control. I'm very much establishing my path. I'm very much doing what I think you know, it's right, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to make the choices, and I'm going to be consuming according to what I want, and this or that. But I might just as good not go to church, decide not to go. See? I could just as soon stay home, and it would just be just as good, just as beneficial. I would be just as fine. See? See, church, why do I say church? We say church is what we've already talked about in terms of what God organized. He organized the body of Christ with His offices of preachers and deacons. That means that church necessarily involves having someone that preaches to you. That's something. And that is why many people have moved away from that church model. Because they don't want to have somebody preach to us. At best, if anything, or at worst, what we'd like is for everyone to sit together as it was, and it happened historically at some point. And as we sit together, well, you know, anybody can speak. And there's no one necessarily that is appointed to speak to you or preach to you. Now, we know that there is a role for that, and we're going to touch on that as we continue to speak and prophesy, as we can all speak the Word of God. But it's this idea of having someone preach to you that we have difficulty with, I think. Having someone speak to us. Or sometimes that we just don't like anyone to preach to us. See, it runs both ways. Sometimes is that I just don't want to have anyone preach to me. Or it may be, gosh, everyone seems bent on preaching to me. Why is this happening to me? And I just don't care for anyone to do that. You see both polarities here? See, on the one hand, this establishes the necessity of pastors. Yes, you will have a pastor preach to you, and that's to your benefit. But number two, the reality that we all can preach to one another. That we all can preach and ought to preach to one another. And the flesh doesn't like either one. Doesn't like having that authority over us, preaching to us. Or doesn't like just anyone ascribing to themselves, right, the freedom, the prerogative to speak into our lives. Who are you to talk to me? Yeah, the pastor can do that, but you, right? So I think these two reasons are a very basic level address that. But now more biblically grounded, I think, more with the flow of redemptive history, that the prophesying that was happening now in the New Testament church concerned the new wine. Concerned the new wine of the gospel. And some of these believers within that Jewish background, obviously, even if you were a Gentile believer, all of a sudden you had to see the connection with the Old Testament. And the scriptures that they had was the scriptures of the Old Testament. So to have these apostles come in and speak authoritatively was something that maybe for someone was hard to swallow. Or maybe they held it in less authority than the Old Testament scriptures. Or than the old revelation and traditions that they have received. So the apostle has told them, hey, do not despise the prophesying, the speaking forth, and the foretelling that is going on now, because God is doing something mighty. This is exactly what Jesus said when He ascended. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost, and He will teach you. And how does the Holy Ghost teach? Through someone preaching to you. It's the ministry of preaching and teaching in the Word of God. It's the ministry of prophesying. Prophesying from the offices that God has established and also from the one another's ministry that God carries out by His Spirit in speaking the Word of God one to another. So in that sense, right, the Apostle Paul is saying the new thing that has begun, it's not just now a thing of the temple in Jerusalem. It's not just now a thing of the priests in the temple. It's not just now a thing of the scribes in Jerusalem. It's not just now even a thing of the Jewish language or of the Jewish people. The new thing that I have begun to do is a thing of babes and maids and all people. It's not just a thing of kings and priests and prophets of Old Testament. It's a thing of everyone. Of everyone prophesying, of everyone speaking forth the word of God, of everyone bearing witness to the gospel of Christ. The ubiquity now of Scripture, right? The clarity now of the new message of the gospel is something now that the people possessed. It had not been so before. It had been just the purview of the Jews. In the Word of God and the prophesying, the particular task of those uniquely anointed to do so, in the case of kings or special prophets or priests, the scribes speaking the Word of God. So it was when somebody saw somebody prophesying, that was not their office to do. Sometimes people would marvel, him prophesying. Sometimes a king was a king, but not a prophet, right? And when they would see a king, like Samuel, remember when they saw Samuel prophet? Oh, Samuel also among the prophets. Wow. Well, guess what? Now we're all among the prophets. You've all called to prophesy. You've all called to speak forth the word of God. You've all called to pour out this wine, to give everyone a pour. You're all called to speak forth the wonders, the mighty works of God's grace in Christ Jesus. It can only happen if you do not despise prophecies, if you're daily paying attention to the Word of God. So now came this new apostolic authority, right? The prophets of the Old Testament, but in addition to them, the apostles that Jesus had called. Why? Because the foundation was being laid. The cornerstone that had been prophesied had come, Jesus the Messiah. And then the foundation was going to be finished through this new wine, gospel revelation, new apostolic, true apostolic movement and reformation, not like today. Those that call themselves apostles today, they're fake. They're fake. They're bloated, self-inflated. At best, maybe self-deceived. At worst, they're wolves disguised as sheep, ransacking the house, robbing, stealing, misleading, misdirecting, bad handling and using the Word of God. So do not despise prophesying. Here's in the context. Do not despise the apostles. Like they did Paul. Remember they did Paul in at Corinth? They despised them. They underestimated him, so this would apply to them, the Apostle Paul. Certainly will have firsthand experience with this. They knew up that the apostolic reformation is here. The revelation, the new wine, the new thing that happened. I am doing a good thing. Is that what the prophets? The Lord is preparing to bring to light a new thing. And the new has come. It's in Christ. You know, the new thing is not your miraculous breakthrough. The new thing is not just your own personal. We're going to get to that. It's not just your own personal prophesying for your own personal success and break through, and new God is about to do a new thing in your life. No, He's already done it. Darn it. He's already done it. Do you see it? Are you living by it? Are you feeding on it? Are you being built on this foundation, this new thing, this apostolic reformation, revelation, prophesying to finish the canon of the Word of God, and then to use it, to display, to give it to the people so that everyone would prophesy? This is the stuff of reformation, not just the apostolic reformation, the times of reformation that we hear Paul talk about when Jesus came, but even the reformation that we are about to celebrate at the end of the month of the 16th century. That's what Luther and that's what the reformers were about. They were adamant. It was a passion that consumed them. It's that everyone could lay their hands on the Word of God. That's how important it is. That's how important it was for the reformers. So I'm intent that the one that's tilling the field can know as much theology as a priest in the cathedral. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing thing. Praise God. And we live in a time in which we have so much information. So much technology and access. And yet I'm afraid that we're doing so little of reading, of studying, of abiding in God's Word. Isn't it? Why is that? Is it because we have put out the Spirit's fire? Are we grieving the Spirit as such? It may also be that we despise prophecies because we just don't like the truth of the Word of God. We want to have somebody preach to us. We want to have somebody preach to us what we want to hear. Right? Maybe another reason why we despise prophesying. This was the thing of the Old Testament. You always have the prophets of the Lord and the false prophets, right? And those evil kings, when they heard the word of the Lord, they hated them prophets of God. So they put them in prison. They persecuted them. They killed them. And then they would hear. And they would give ear and attention to false prophets. So why do we despise prophecies? Because we just don't like what we hear. We don't like the truth of God's word. And ultimately, we may despise prophecy because we don't like grace. Christ. Yeah, we may sit by on a political speech in the church. We may sit by and listen to a rant, right, of a political proportions, morality laden. We may stomach that because we're validating ourselves by it. Usually when that is the case, it's because we're validating ourselves by that speech, whether it's because we are the chosen people. We are Americans. We are, I don't know. We are such and such. We are the revolutionaries. We're the social warriors. Huh? There's plenty on both sides. On the side of the right, there's just this idea somehow that America is the chosen land, that somehow the lost tribes have ended up here, that there is some sort of a covenant with America. None of that is true. Okay? We love America. America, the beautiful, the great. God bless America. Yeah, love it. It's just the greatest country, I think, on the face of the earth. Yes. But America is not the church. America is not heavenly Jerusalem. America's not the chosen people. No, it's not. Okay. And then we have, on the other hand, you know, our revolutionaries or social justice warriors of today. And they get very cute. They are turning the gospel into some kind of social action, activism, you know. And what they are managing to do is divide and split up the church and people into 1,000 pieces. By lifting up banners of race, of gender, of personal stories and narratives, with a postmodern approach to things, deconstructing everything, throwing everything out. I think in the process, doing great damage to the gospel of Christ, to the church, and to the unity of God's people. What unites us all, the great equalizer, is the grace of God in Christ. Is that if we're in Christ, I'm a new creation. That's neither male nor female, black or white, Jew or Gentile, slave or free. That no matter what position, whether it's socioeconomic or what nationality, of what background or what life story, if we enter the gates of the kingdom through grace, we're all on the same need basis with the same solution that God has provided. We are all dependently connected to the vine in the same way. And able thus to feed in the same way. There's no one more anointed than another one. There's no one more privileged than another one. For we have come to understand that we're all sinners. And there is none good. No, not even one. And then through grace and the revelation of the gospel, we have been humbled. We have been humbled, right? Right? We have been humbled. Oh, that you would just cleave on these words. Right? Hang on the lips. You know, that you would hang on the lips of the... Have you ever hung on someone's lips? You know what that expression means? It's like you are... It's like... It's not even you just take your face off of them. You're so captivated by what they have to say that you even want to see their lips moving. You don't want to miss every movement, every curve, every right articulation. Oh, that we would hang on God's word like that. Oh, Father, I wait on you. This is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of the shaping of my soul. This is a matter of how my soul is being bent and shaped and molded. And either it is being shaped and bent and molded by God's word, or it is being shaped and bent and molded by your own word and by the poison of Satan. A daily attention to God's word. We don't like God's grace. You know why we don't like God's grace? Because we feel that we're doing just fine. If we're in church, if we are in church, that's because we are the better ones. We're the ones that have qualified. And that's why we have so much trouble with others in church that we believe don't qualify. Right? That we believe can make the cut. We have so much trouble when we are challenged. Or when we are exposed. That's what grace... You know what grace does? It exposes us. It makes you naked. It strips our self-pretension, sub-righteousness. It cuts to the core. God makes the wound with His word. And we don't like it. But those that have become accustomed to grace, those that see that, yes, God makes the wound, He wounds the flesh. He crucifies the flesh. He takes us to the slaughter in saying our best works and best accomplishments and performance, our all identities, our all standing Everything that we were holding to in this old age is not. It is under the curse, and only one thing and one thing alone is important. And that is our standing in Christ and faith working through love, a new creation. So that's why we despise prophecies. Now, let's begin to delve a little bit into this prophecy or prophesying in terms of what it is. And I want to give you a passage here that may help illuminate. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 16. Listen to to another apostle, the apostle Peter, and what he says here, beginning in verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. How many of you like fables? Huh? Now, we may not know what that is or that word, but it's just how many of you like stories, right? Science fiction stories, made up stories, stories of old, adventure, fiction. That's great. That's awesome. Right? Especially when it's well made. It's great. But you know what? That's not what the apostles followed. They did not follow well made stories, well made fiction. They did not follow fables with simply a moral lesson or a civic lesson like the Greeks of old with all their fables, right? No. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Oh, they were eyewitnesses. This is some apologetics here, right? Why should I believe in the Word of God? This is based on the testimony of eyewitnesses that had nothing to gain. Nothing to gain from making up the story about Jesus. And nothing to gain by it. Nothing to gain by it. See, let's put this to the test for a moment here as a little apologetic. Apologetic is defending the faith, right? Defending the faith or making the faith attractive to those that don't believe it. So that's when we say the task of apologetics is doing that. See, let's compare Christianity with the world's two other major religions, the Jews or Judaism. Did they have something to gain by their system? Yes. Land, territory, power, ascendancy. How about the other religion? Islam. Did they have something to gain by their scheme? Yes. What? Same thing. Ascendancy in the Arabian Peninsula. Credibility. They were a forgotten group of people on that piece of land, eaten up by the Roman Empire of the time, you know, at that time, caught between the Persians and the Romans in the West, and the Arabs were nothing. Tribes scatter, Bedouins in tents. So they had everything to gain by putting together a system of religion that would gain them credibility, ascendancy, power, control, conquest. I ask you, what did the ragtag of the 12 have to gain by making up a story about the risen Savior? What it gained them was death, scorn, reproof, persecution, a hard life, the loss of goods. That's what it gained them. But Peter says, we saw. We saw. Paul says, I saw. These are the true apostles. They saw the resurrected Christ. Because they saw the Messiah come back from the dead. All the prophecies fulfilled in Jesus. In addition to that, their hearts were warmed by a message that resonated to them exactly like the Word of God that they had learned from the Old Testament. They saw all the aspirations fulfilled, realized it was a reasonable message. In keeping and according to Scripture, everything now comes together for them as everything comes together for the believer. Comes together for us. That's why Peter would say, where are we going? If we abandon you, Lord, where am I going to go? Now, fishing may be great, but it can be following the resurrected, the risen Savior and serving Him. Now, you add to that whatever it is that you're doing. You know, lawyering may be great. You know, what else? Real estate may be great, right? Dentistry may be great. You know, business may be fantastic, but can it beat following the risen Savior? Receiving the riches of His kingdom? Being filled with the Spirit? Receiving life everlasting? Life that wells up to eternal life? The abundance of His Spirit, the depth of His love, and the vast treasures of an inheritance in glory? You tell me. So, He's saying, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Okay? So, prophecy is... The apostles did it as eyewitnesses, but we do it by faith, as Jesus told Thomas, blessed are they who will not see yet believe. But altogether, it is a witnessing and a confession to God's promises in Christ. When you prophesy, when we prophesy as a people, or when I prophesy as a preacher, when the gift of the Spirit and prophesying is happening in the church, it is the witness of God in His people, through His people, to the fulfillment of God's promises in Christ. Anything else is not prophesying. It's not prophesying. It may go by it. It may go by that name, but it's not. It is the witness. It is a confession of God's promises in Christ. Just keep reading this passage. Verse 17, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. We heard it. So they're bearing witness to it. So prophesying is the witness, the confession of God's promises in Christ. And it is based on prophetic apostolic foundation. They are saying, they are encouraging people to believe the Word of God based on their apostleship, on their witnessing, on their reception, and then obviously on what the Spirit is going to speak forth and foretell through them and giving the utterances of the Word of God to finish the canon of Scripture. So from heaven, when we were with Him on the holy mountain, verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. There it is. We have the prophetic word confirmed. What's a prophetic word? The Old Testament. The prophets of the Old Testament confirmed in the ministry of Christ, in the witnessing and the confession of the fulfillment of God's promises in Christ. So the prophesying has come full circle, right? The prophecies have come full circle to what God wanted to reveal. So verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed. There it is. Do not despise prophecies. Heed the word of God. Notice, heed the word of God as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's so beautiful. Right? It is based on apostolic, prophetic foundation. And notice what it is for. What it is for. Notice, you do well to heed as a light. It is for lighting your life. Huh? It is to light you up. It, or the word is to enlighten you. To enlighten you. You know, our minds are dark. Our hearts are futile. That's the flesh. That's how the flesh gets described. Yeah, their minds were darkened. Their hearts, right? Futile. Why? Because we're not receiving the word of God. We're just, the darkness have overtaken us. They have overcome us. Oh, but praise God, if you have been born again, darkness cannot overcome the light of Christ. He will light you up. He will enlighten you. He will make the face of Christ shine on you. That's enlightening. He will enlighten the truth of Scriptures. At some point, you're going to be drawn. If you're never drawn to Scripture, you're not born again, period. You know, we go through periods of what? We don't want to hear the word. We don't want to pick up the Bible. We don't want to hear anything. Yes, we go through deserts and wilderness like that. But we know what we're missing, don't we? We know what we're missing, don't we? We do. We feel it. And we sigh and we groan. Oh, Father. Speak to me. Need a word. Need a word from you, Lord. Bring me back to your word. Let your word be again, be a shining light to my feet and a light to my lamp. Enlighten the darkened corners of my heart, of my soul. Shed your light, disperse my darkness. How many of you have felt like that? You see all the darkness of the dark recesses and corners of our damn flesh. You know, the only hope is the light of the Word of God. That's what you need. You need someone to preach to you. Yeah. Some, you know, oftentimes, you know what God is going to do? He's going to discipline us in such a way that we're going to crave what we once despised. That's the way God works. Where before we're saying, don't preach, don't preach, no preachers, no one telling me what to do. I don't want to hear it. Then when the light dawns, we say, oh, that we could find a preacher. Oh, preacher, preach to us. Oh, tell us the good news. Oh, say those words again. Oh, we want to hear that precious gospel. Yeah. A light that shines in a dark place. And you know what? We have that light. It's that little, remember that song? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. This is a dark world. And we have the light. Isn't that amazing? It says, do you shine? Do you turn on a candle and put it under the table? No. Let it shine. Go forth, children. or forth this light that came. The world, he came into his own received him not. He was the light of the world. The darkness did not comprehend it. But we have received grace upon grace. Be filled with the word of God. He turns on the light. We have no light. It is the light of the Spirit. The lamps are trimmed by the Spirit in the hearing of the word of God. And as we are filled, the light turned on, the lamp trimmed, then we go forth with the light. And man, we can do so much good with that light unto so many that are hurting. Oh, there's another beautiful song like that, right? Is that song that when they pass the light on? How does that song go? It's humming in the back of my mind, but I can't remember the lyrics right now. Take the light to the torn, to the confused, to the hurt, right? The light that shines in the dark, but until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So this could be a reference to regeneration, and it could also be a reference to ultimate and final regeneration of all things, to the day of redemption. We have the light of Christ. We have it by faith now, but one day we're going to see it face to face. The glory of the Lord shall fill the earth. The glory, the light. The city has no need of sun or moon, for the Lamb is its light. And the nations walk in the light of the Lamb. Praise God. That's a redemption that we are anticipating and waiting. And the day is near, folks. The day is near. Knowing this, we close with this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy or prophesying of Scripture is of any private interpretation. God told me to tell you this. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. Unless it is speech concerning divine revelation to advance God's redemptive purposes. If God told you to tell somebody that He is going to be prosperous, that you're going to get this business, you're going to do this or that, at best, hear it and say, thank you, sister. Now, what are you going to do about it? If He's going to, God's going to do it, God's going to do it. I'll wait. You got to do this or that. Like one time somebody prophesied over me, I've got to talk to you. God is telling me that we need to sell this property and move down to Kendall. Well, God hadn't told me that. What God's told me is to keep preaching here, the Word of God. He's assigned me here. Why would I move elsewhere? He wants us to move. He'll close doors here in His providential outworking of His will, and we'll certainly know it. You know, we get all fanciful ideas, and you know what? They become destructive. They are not edifying. They are personal interpretation. They're for personal gain. They're for personal advancement. Because that is what false teachers and prophets are about. Just for their, they live for their stomachs, basically, for their own gain. But no prophet of Scripture is of any private interpretation, which means that prophecy or prophesying is according to scriptural revelation. According, based on scriptural, God's narrative. I spoke to someone recently, counseled someone recently, drowning in their story. The story was really, and she shared and she shared and she shared. I wanted to be polite and courteous. She shared more. Have you ever heard of TMI? Too much information, right? Yeah. I said, lady, listen, I've let you speak and you share all of that. And I'm going to give you two advices. Because part of the thing happening with her is that, you know, she was rejected by people. And said, you know, you're just putting too much in people. You can't just You can't just bear your heart out like that and put, people cannot take that. Not only are you putting too much on people, you're not caring for yourself in doing that. You don't share that depth of information and intimacy, right, with just about anyone or with just everyone that comes your way. You don't do that. You're hurting yourself and hurting others in the process. What should I do? Share that story with Christ. But more importantly, let Christ share His story with you. Less and less focus on your past story and be more and more absorbed into His story. That's what prophesying, true prophesying, false prophesying absorbs you into your story. And it is sinking sand. True prophesying absorbs you, elevates you into the story of redemption. And that is life-giving. That is life-transforming. That is empowering and comforting and strengthening and edifying. May the Lord help us, and we may continue to receive and pay attention on a daily basis to His Word, that we may live thereby. The Lord be with you. The peace and the grace of God with you this day. Amen.